the president of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights fan club, Pete Vutek of College Football News. Pete, how you doing, buddy?
On Scarlet, right, on Rutgers. I don't even know what the fight song is there. But give some respect to the, what is it, the 150th year of Rutgers football, and they still haven't been able to quite figure it out yet. Yeah, they're just not very good.
Well, their women's basketball coach just won her 1,000th game, so at least they're good at women's basketball, but they're not any good at football. They stink.
Okay, that's great for them. Fantastic.
There you go. I know you're excited about that. All right, Pete, let's get into it. The Buckeyes in action this week, a sloppy game against Michigan State last week that, you know, their offense, again, really didn't do much. The defense and special teams got them the win. They're a big favorite over Maryland on the road this week. Does it feel like something's just off with Ohio State right now, or no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're not playing up to their talent level at all. But I'll give a little bit of credit to that Michigan State win, because that is the type of survive and advance game that, you know what, you got out. You know, you not only did you get out, but sometimes, and I always kind of point this out, where certain teams, you know, you're kind of good when you don't play great and you win in a blowout. They still won, what, 26-6? I mean, so at the end of the day, you are what your record is, and they still do just have the one loss, and they did just beat a semi-decent team who actually is having a historically amazing year as a run defense. And I was playing around with some other stats this week when it came to Alabama. I kind of stumbled across. Over the last 10 years, only three teams have finished a season allowing fewer than 1,000 rushing yards. And two of them were Alabama, one of them was Boston College, and a little bit of an outlier. So far, Michigan State has allowed something like 760 yards on the ground. No one's running at all on this group. So when you've got a defense that's playing that well, and you're still able to kind of find ways to win, all right, so it's not pretty. It's, you know, you won by the punting game last week. All right, but you're still in a position to at least hang around the discussion. And it might not be pretty. It might not be great. Beat Maryland this week, beat Michigan next week, beat Northwestern. That's Merry Christmas there. And you're right there. You're right on the doorstep, even if this hasn't really been a very nice and easy season.
Yeah, you mentioned Ohio State taking on Maryland this weekend. They're on the road. I'm actually a little surprised the spread is it's only 14.5. I thought it would be higher than that, frankly. But I guess if you've watched Ohio State the last couple weeks that we just kind of talked about, they've had their issues certainly on the offensive side. How does Ohio State avoid not looking past Maryland? Is this something that where there could be a little bit of a trap game squeezed in between Michigan? Do you think that's a possibility at all?
Yeah, you know, I don't normally like to assign one distinctive point to a team and say, well, this team is going to do this or do that. But in this case, when you're Ohio State and you're just not playing great, you can't really look ahead to anybody because you're fighting for the college football playoff now. It hasn't, you know, we keep saying, though, we're waiting for this team to turn it on. Well, maybe this is just what it is. It's still not that bad. Maryland, they don't have Kasim Hill because it's another year and, you know, one of their quarterbacks suffers a torn ACL, and this poor kid hasn't had any luck with knee injuries so far in his career. So you have a guy who's kind of quarterback number 1A in the group, Tyrone Pegram, and he's okay. There's no passing game. It's a one-dimensional attack that all that Maryland can do is run the ball. So you know what the playbook's probably going to be. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be great. And then Ohio State will just show off that they have a couple of first-round NFL-caliber talent at the skill spots, and then they'll show up for a couple of key drives and put the game away, and then, all right, it's on to Michigan. And then the thing about this that keeps getting thrown off in the college football playoff rankings and the national analysis is that this is the money time coming up. Everything that's happened before, all right, the Purdue loss is bad. That's going to be a hard one to overcome. But if you beat Michigan, and that's the number 4 ranked Michigan team, and it'll be, say, number 3 if somehow Notre Dame loses to Clemson, there you go. There's your win, and that kind of gives you the cred over just about everything else at that point. And at that, then the rankings really do change, and then this gets really fun really fast.
Do you think Dwayne Haskins has regressed, do you still feel like he's an NFL-type prospect?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, he's got all the skills, all the tools. I mean, he needs more at-bats. I mean, he just needs more live reps. I live here in Chicago, and it's been one of the big arguments over the last couple of years with Mitch Trubisky is that he came into the league with the fewest snaps or fewest time, you know, fewest games logged in of any first-round quarterback in, like, forever, if ever. And it's just taking him a while to kind of, you know, get his bearings here. The thing about a guy like Haskins is, okay, he just needs time. I mean, it's all there. The talent's there to be amazing. I understand when you're under Urban Meyer that you want the quarterback who can do RPOs, who can run a little bit. But he's probably the most – I mean, Cardale Jones was the most physically talented pure passer that they've had under Urban Meyer. And now you got a guy who can kind of do a little bit of everything. And all he just needs is a little bit more time. But he's absolutely an NFL quarterback after another 12, 15 games or so of work.
Pete Futek, College Football News, is with us. Pete, this has got to be on paper the worst week of the college football season. There are very few good games. I mean, there's only three matchups of top 25 teams, and two of them are Texas, Iowa State, and UCF, Cincinnati, which are not the most exciting matchups. The most interesting game of the week, though, is Syracuse, Notre Dame. If I would have told you in the beginning of the season that Syracuse, Notre Dame, with Syracuse ranked 12th in the country, would be the best game, or that Syracuse would even be ranked, would you have thought I was crazy? And what kind of chance do you give them of beating Notre Dame?
A lot. I mean, this is a dangerous team with veterans. Eric Dungy's been around, and he's been through the wars. I mean, they almost beat Clemson twice. So he has been there where they have been good enough to at least hang with these groups. The key, though, is can they stop this Notre Dame backfield? And they're kind of new to the scene, so they haven't taken on a big national profile. But Ian Book is playing amazingly well. He's back after that rib injury. He's been the nation's most effective passer, completing something like 75% of his throws. And Dexter Williams is fantastic. He was on a four-game suspension, and everyone's kind of like, all right, just wait till we get this guy in here. And sure enough, he gets in, and he's just a machine when, you know, able to hit home runs. But Syracuse is absolutely good enough to pull this off and win this. And to your other point, it's a bad year. I mean, just overall, I mean, look at what's happening. You know, how do you know the Big Ten West is awful? Well, Northwestern just won it with two games to go. Northwestern's not any good. The Big Ten West is a disaster. The ACC Coastal, actually the ACC in general, outside of Clemson, is a complete nightmare. The Pac-12 sucks. I mean, the Big 12 doesn't have any defense. It's not a great year outside of some SEC teams and those teams at the top. So on the one hand, you have all these bad matchups this week, but they do set up for some big things happening coming up, whether it's potentially Oklahoma and West Virginia twice. And watch out for, you know, some of those Big 12 games are going to be fun. Obviously, the Ohio State-Michigan game, Georgia and Alabama, the SEC championship. So there are fun things happening. But, yeah, this is just – there's a whole lot of ugh this week.
Yeah.
The Alabama Crimson Tide face the Citadel this week, and – they're going to play Tua, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. The guy's battling a knee injury. What the hell is Saban thinking, playing his starting quarterback in this game?
I think he's paying lip service to that. I think he might play a series or two. The thing about Saban, and for all his weirdness, his MO has been, and it's kind of hard to argue with it, is you always respect your opponent no matter what. You keep your intensity up week in and week out, whether it's LSU, whether it's Citadel, whether it's Auburn. And part of the process is you take every game and you treat it like you have to win this game no matter what. Now, to your point, they're not going to lose to Citadel, but what's the one thing that can happen that could screw them up is if they lose Tua, Jalen Hurts is hurt, and they got Mac Jones going against Auburn and Georgia. They lose both those games, they're out. They lose one of those two games, they're in. So the only thing that can really probably mess up this entire season is if Tua gets hurt. And you're right, if he suffers a knee injury, that knee injury gets worse, then, yeah, that's the biggest problem. Now, I will say this for Saban. I'm guessing this is how he thinks. When, looking up, just again, going back to the historic nature of some of these Alabama run defenses, the 2011 Alabama run defense gave up something like 930 yards on the season. It gave up over 300 yards to the FCS Georgia Southern team when it was looking past that game, and it had a hard time getting through that game. You've got a Citadel team that runs the option offense. It's not going to have a problem. They're going to get stuffed. They're going to get blown out. But you just know that somewhere in Saban's mind, he's like, wait a minute, our 2011 team just almost got bit by this FCS team in an embarrassing game for his defense. You know he's not going to want to have that again.
UCF is having College Game Day come to Orlando this weekend. It should be a fun environment, and we get to see the Bearcats with Luke Fickell. We're having a terrific season take on the Knights there in Orlando. Do you think that they have any realistic shot to get in if they continue their 22-game win streak?
None, because they don't play anybody. None. And it's unfortunate. I know it's, you know, they argue, well, it's, you know, we deserve to be in. Well, no, you don't. You know, I'm sorry that the system stinks, you know, but not everyone can marry Kate Upton. You know, it doesn't work out if you're not playing anybody. And it's the same problem I have with, you know, all the people screaming right now, well, look at Utah State. They're killing teams. Utah State hasn't beaten anybody. Fresno State hasn't beaten anybody. I mean, it's just a lot of these teams, if there's a team out there with an amazing record and they're not in a Power 5 conference, there's a reason for it. So UCF is going to scream and yell, hey, look, you know, we beat, you know, Pitt, and Pitt's about to win the Coastal. Yeah, it's a great argument, but it's not the point. It's the whole argument. It's the Purdue-Ohio State argument where, yeah, of course UCF could beat Purdue. Okay, now go beat Michigan State and beat Penn State and, you know, handle Maryland's running game and then go deal with Michigan. It's just the accumulation of those body blow games week after week after week that's the difference between being a Power 5 team and a Group of 5 team. And as unfair and as rigged as the system might be, that's kind of the deal. And if you don't play anybody, this is a beauty contest. It's based on judgment, well, unfortunately, and you can't put a team like that in.
It's almost like they should just have their own playoffs for the non-Power 5. Why don't they do that? Why don't they have a playoff for those teams? Let's go to 8 teams, Pete, because with 8 teams, maybe they could get in.
Yeah, but then you're diluting you're saying you're not really good enough to be among the top 4 teams in the country, so we're going to create a way to get you in.
But we don't know that. But we don't know. Yeah. The reality is we don't know for sure that UCF is not good enough. It's easy for us all to say that, but we don't know for sure.
Well, that's kind of missing the overall point, too, is that let's say they do get in and they do win something. It's not fair that they got in the first place because they basically had a lot easier test. The comparison I have is, like, let's say you're taking a class and half the class gets really, 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 really hard questions and half the class gets really, 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 really easy questions. It's not fair to give the group that got the easy questions and compare them to the one that got the hard questions. So, yeah, they could probably hang with Georgia or Oklahoma or Clemson or something like that in a college football playoff. But the whole point is, how did they get there in the first place? And to Ohio State's point, you don't think Ohio State would have ripped through UCF's schedule, you know, without a problem, or take about 15 other programs, and it would have just rolled through that slate. So it's not fair. It's rigged, but that's the way this thing works.
So you don't want to see an 8-team playoff?
I do, but I don't. What I don't like is the NCAA basketball tournament, where you can get hot for, you know, 3 weeks, finish 7th in your conference, get hot, and then you're in this gimmicky tournament where
I don't think 8, sorry to catch up, Pete, but I don't think 18, I think I wouldn't go higher than that. I think once you get higher than that, then you're in danger of that. I think 8's the perfect number because it opens the door to the possibility of a non-Power 5 team yet doesn't water it down to the point.
Two points on that is, if you didn't get into the Final Four of the current college football playoff, there's an issue. You know, you did something wrong because you know that if you go in your Power 5 conference league and you go 13-0 and you win your Power 5 conference, you're in. So you can win your way in if you're a Power 5 team. If you're a Group of 5 team and you don't go undefeated and beat a lot of teams. Now, Houston a couple years ago, if you want the argument, if you remember that Houston team under Tom Herman that rolled over Baker Mayfield and eventual Big 12 champion Oklahoma to start the season, they destroyed Lamar Jackson in Louisville. They just so happened to gack, I think it was against Navy or UConn or somebody, a couple times in the middle of the season. If that team had gone undefeated, then you would have had the argument that, yeah, you just beat the Big 12 champion, you beat the Heisman winner and a team that was good enough to hang around the ACC. That would have been a team that you could have said, okay, based on our judgment, deserves to be in had it gone undefeated. UCF beating Pitt, they gave up almost 700 yards to Temple. Like, you just can't. I mean, if you're UCF, you got to destroy everything in your path like Alabama is doing, and it's just not doing that.
I know for me, I'd like to see it, but another story for another day.
You'd rather see UCF in the Final Four over Oklahoma, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame.
I'd rather see an 8-team playoff and give them a chance as the 8th seed and see what they got. That's what I'd like to see. But,
all right, so they go in, they get whacked, and then they're out. Okay.
Well, but we don't know that. It, we just because we think that, you know, we blame them for their schedule, but is their schedule their fault? It's not
Have you seen this defense? If
it's that easy, why does nobody else in those leagues go 12-0?
Oh, it's not easy, but I'm just saying you've got to do the comps here. And if you're watching this team, you know, yeah, they're very, very good. But, again, it's not about coming up with the one win or coming up with a win over Memphis or East Carolina. Again, do that in the bigger league. And my argument to UCF people is your energy is completely misguided. Your argument should be, how do we get into the Big 12? How do we go be like TCU, who hung around the Mountain West, the WAC, Conference USA, and they got into the Big 12? And what'd they do? They proved it. They almost got into the college football playoff that first season. So there's a way that should be really where their energy is focused, because if they're complaining, oh, the system needs to be changed, there needs to be an 18 playoff. All right, fine, but the college football playoff people don't care. That's not going to change for another 5 or 6 years at least. So it's about, they're not going to get in. That's not going to do them any good for right now.
All right, Pete, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Pete.
Anytime. Good later.